Please turn with me now in your Bibles to Psalm 91, where we have our meditation for today. Psalm 91, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Jehovah, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The first thing we note here is that there is no account of who the author might be, the human author, of course, for this psalm, like all others, is given by the Holy Spirit through different ones. There have been conjectures, and one I noticed in a commentary I consulted was that, well, maybe, this is something by Moses also, since it's put right next to Psalm 90, and it's talking about these pestilences like the people had in the desert when they had sinned, and so on and so on. Well, it may well have been placed next to Psalm 90 because it had some similar themes, but could have been written at an entirely different time by someone entirely different too. We just don't know. That's just as well, because there is no one to whom this looks, no situation, whether it be a part of a life or a great extent of an entire life, that it relates to more clearly than our Lord Jesus Christ. If we need some knowledgeable testimony to that fact, it is found in Scripture, and I think immediately in Matthew chapter 4, by that great theologian, Satan. He says, this is what God says about you. So go ahead, throw yourself off the corner, the high corner of the temple, because look, it says here, he'll give his angels charge over you in verse 11 there to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You see, the devil knows the scripture. The devil believes that they are true. But he's still the devil. The demons believe that the scriptures, well, they know the scriptures. All his little underlings, well, they're not so little. And they believe them to be true. They just hate them and reject them. Now, this isn't in my mental notes here, but I'm going to apply something here. Saving faith isn't merely knowing what the scriptures teach. Saving faith is not only believing that they are true. Saving faith is actually trusting in the one to whom the scriptures point. The Word become flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. That Satan himself does not do. That the demons do not do. And that all too many people who think they're Christians but whose lives are not changed. Evidence that they have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. All they have is knowledge. All they have is an intellectual assent, but that is not enough. That is not true saving faith. True saving faith actually goes out of oneself to trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ, his mediatorial person, his saving work, and throwing aside all hope in oneself or in any other idol. Well, so this Jesus testified about all the Psalms is ultimately about him. Christ is in every one of the Psalms. They all speak of him, sometimes more clearly, sometimes a little more veiledly. Sometimes it's bright and clear like a sunny day. Remember those? Sometimes it's like a foggy day, like we had a few days ago. But they all testify of Jesus Christ. This is a real clear one. As I say, even the devil has figured this one out. And he is a good he is a capable theologian. Just doesn't believe it. Won't accept it. Okay? Now then, all of this, you can see, speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that came to pass in his life. Let's look at a few things here. Our Lord Jesus is the one who has dwelt in the secret place of the Most High. That can be said of him far more than anyone else. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Greek means he was toward him, face to face, in a manner of speaking, as the persons of the Trinity had and have an eternal fellowship one with another. There is that secret place into which no creature can ever enter. Even when we are perfected, even when we're in our resurrection state, we will be perfected, glorified creatures. Never the Creator. There's an intimacy there that we shall never have because we can't. God can't communicate his godness to us. He can't transfer that to us. We shall never have that, but Jesus has, does, and always shall. He remains, he abides under the shadow of the Almighty. He was always, Jehovah was always our Lord Jesus' refuge and fortress, the one in whom he has trusted. And so, the Lord Jesus was delivered from all kinds of things. There were several times when people wanted to do him in. Remember when he was first preaching in his home synagogue in Nazareth? And there the people tried to throw him over the local cliff because they said he was blaspheming? They couldn't because it wasn't yet his time. That, of course, is the case for all believers in Jesus. Nothing can ultimately harm us. Nothing. There is something that will eventually lead to our earthly death, but that ushers us into heaven, where we wait for our resurrection bodies until our Lord Jesus comes back again someday. So we're delivered from the snare of the fowler. Children, I need to explain that. A snare of this sort is a trap for catching birds. It's a bird trap. And a fowler is a guy who goes after, hunts birds. He hunts them so he can maybe sell them for meat. If they're big birds like pigeons, you can eat pigeons. I don't know if you children know that. Or maybe ducks or geese or something of the sort. They didn't have turkeys in that part of the world in those days. Or you might have for pretty feathers, or just not necessarily pretty, but feathers for stuffing pillows or something of the sort. But fowlers would have these traps. Often they were great big nets that would catch a whole bunch of birds at once. And the birds would be trapped, and then they'd be killed. There are wicked people who would love to do that to believers, and who sought to do it to the Lord Jesus Christ. But every one of their traps wouldn't necessarily be a net made out of rope, but it might be something, a tangled argument that they tried to trap him with. Every one of them he had deliverance from. And he is delivered from the perilous pestilence. A pestilence, children, is a sickness that's going around getting everyone very, very sick and killing many people. That used to be more common than it is right now. And who knows if in God's timing and in God's providence it could happen again. But Jesus was kept from that. In fact, he was covered with his father's feathers. Well, we know, children, that God doesn't have feathers. This is just a picture to help us understand. This is like a picture of a mother hen, a mother bird, sheltering her newly hatched little babies, keeping them warm from her body heat and the insulation of the feathers, keeping them hidden so maybe owls or hawks don't see them, keeping them protected. God the Father has done that with each one of us because we are in Jesus, and He covers, He has protected His Messiah. And so Jesus was not afraid of terror by night. He wasn't afraid of an arrow or the pestilence in darkness or the destruction at noonday. None of these things was he afraid of. All of them he went through that we might be delivered from their fear as well. And so the scripture reads here in verses 7 and 8, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. The picture there, children and adults, is of a great host of people ranged against the godly one. And on they come, and odds are pretty rough, you know. 1 against 1,000, 1 against 10,000. But all of a sudden, they're gone. They're destroyed. And he's still there. He's still there. Every one of Jesus' enemies falls before him ultimately. He gave a little picture of that in the Garden of Gethsemane as we see it recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 18. When they came to get him, and he asked them, "Who are you looking for?" And all of a sudden, they all fell down. Fell backwards, it indicates in the Greek. And as they kind of picked themselves up, all groggily and everything, he asks them again. And in their dazedness, they say again who it is they're looking for. And he says, "Well, then let these others go." He could have set himself free. He could have escaped yet again. But the time at that point was then for him to be taken, for him to be betrayed, for him to be unjustly judged, for him to take upon himself the curse that we deserve, the judgment that we deserve, the punishment that we deserve for our sin. All that he did at the right time. So, our Lord Jesus, we could go through all these verses and show how it is that they apply to him. In every single situation, he was delivered until the time came, but even then, he was delivered. Now, we make application of this to our own lives and see all the promises here that apply to us in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. But when we see these promises, we can be tempted to think, well, this means that nothing bad will happen to us. No, that's not the case. That is not the case. Back in Psalm 34, we read in verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all." And here at the bottom of this Psalm, we see, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him." You're going to be delivered from something. There were difficulties and trials, and our Lord Jesus had them, did he not? Many and many. Many that we cannot plumb the depth of. But I will deliver him. Our Lord Jesus on the cross, and I know I've said this many times, but it's still the case, was abandoned by his Father in his mediatorial person because he took for us the curse, the wrath, the punishment. As the mediator, as the beloved, he took upon himself our place and was rejected and was placed under judgment, judgment that believers deserved. And he was forsaken. But he was delivered. After he had paid off everything, he could and did go from his quoting of Psalm 22 to quoting of Psalm 31. "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." He who was at the depth, the next to last step anyway, outwardly, and the depths in many ways truly of this humiliation, which we'll look at in our next service, was then brought on high. He was set on high because he has known my name. "He shall call upon me," as Jesus did, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken him? And I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Yes, indeed. By raising him on the third day. With long life. Yes, that he has to this day and will eternally. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Just like we saw months and months, maybe a couple of years ago in Isaiah 53. Where we were told, was guaranteed, he would see his seed. And so he did. For here you are. Here you are. Well, as we sing from this psalm, and we're going to sing the entirety of it using Psalm 91a, let's think about how all the promises here are for us, but only because our Lord Jesus has accomplished all that was needed and went through all this that we may have these promises.